Jesus. Sunday morning, 10/27/19, Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is The Lynching. First part of the week, I kept hearing that for several days, a lynching. I just finally got up and just wrote it down. And then I noticed all over YouTube that word, lynching. Even the president tweeted about lynching. I'm thinking, okay, this is what the Lord was saying. The impeachment hoax is actually a lynching. The lynch law, it's the punishment of presumed crimes or offenses, usually by death without due process of law, to put to death as by hanging by mob action without legal sanction. The Lord says this will be the left's undoing, the kingpin that causes the fall. You know, when you go bowling, when you hit that head pin, they all fall. And if you learn how to hit that head pin, all the other pins will come. And that's what the Lord says. This is the head pin. All right. The book of Esther. We're not going to read the whole book of Esther today, but if you remember the book of Esther, Esther was brought to the throne to be queen instead of Vashti. And her husband was from Iran, king, whatever, Xerxes was from Iran, called Babylon at that time. And she was had an uncle named Mordecai who was a Jew. And there was a wicked man named Mordecai that was one of the top officials in the kingdom. And so he had plotted against the king and nearly had him killed. And Mordecai had hired some minions to do that. And Mordecai found out about it, and so saved the king's life. Well, later on, Mordecai uncovers a plot that Haman is going to hang Mordecai, which to me is kind of symbolism of the Jews. Mordecai was going to be hung on the gallows. And Haman has a gallows built for Mordecai. We're talking the nation of Israel here. And so Mordecai goes to Esther and tells her that she needs to go to the king and make an appeal for the nation of Israel. And anyway, he said, don't think for a minute that you will be excused from this. You're called to this time to intercede. To me, it's kind of like the church today, like Esther interceding, you know. The church is interceding. And so anyway, what happened, she went before the king. He granted her petition to come to a banquet. The first day, you know, asked Haman to come. And she doesn't mention anything, but she asked him to come back the second day. Well, on the second day, she reveals to the king that she's a Jew and what Haman plans to do. Well, the king has Mordecai hung on his own gallows. And then the next day, he said, what other requests would you like? And she said, I would require that his 10 sons also be hung on the gallows. So this is the book of Esther. Donald Trump was elected in the wee hours of the morning, and later that day, the editor of Charisma made this statement. She said that God told her Haman has been hung on the gallows. I do believe also that the Lord expressed that to me is what this impeachment is all about. And the trap they set for the president, they will fall into it themselves. I'm going to read one scripture. This is Proverbs 26:27. I'm not calling any names. We're just talking about divine law here. 26:27. I haven't gotten used to this Bible, 26:27. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Kind of remind you of the coyote and the roadrunner. Exactly. So, just wanted to encourage you with that. And I'll just keep this on the same tape. This is another word called the raising up the spirit of Jehu. Jehu and the Strong's, his name means Jehovah. The Lord says, I'm raising up the spirit of Jehu. In 1 Kings 16:1, Jehu was a prophet. 1 Kings, I'm going to turn over there. You know, there are not just prophets in the body of Christ, but there's what I like to call is the market day prophet. And I think Donald Trump is, he's like Lance Wanow. Lance Wanow is real good in business and stuff, and he goes around teaching seminars, even though he's a Christian. He teaches Bible principles, but he's a market day, marketplace prophet. Has a lot of wisdom. Okay, 16:1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hananiah, against Baasha and saying, For as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam and hast made my people Israel to sin to provoke me to anger with these sins. So here Jehu is raising up against Baasha, the king, to come against him for causing his people to walk against his ways. Okay, verse 7. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hananiah, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house, even from all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands and being like the house of Jeroboam and because he killed him. Okay, now drop down to verse 12. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. Okay, now flip over to 2 Chronicles. We're not reading these whole stories, just bits and pieces to get a general idea. 2 Chronicles 19. Verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hananiah the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, Shouldest thou help the wicked and love them who hate the Lord? Therefore there is wrath upon thee from the Lord. Okay, go back now to 1 Kings 19. So he was a pretty bold prophet coming out against the wickedness of his day. I tell you, I've never heard anybody call out like the president. At his rallies, he's calling out the deep state, man. He is not holding any punches. Calls out the fake news. They're all back, you know, all back here. Boy, calls them out, man. He says, you can always tell. They always put their red lights on when I start calling them out. They'll put them on because that means they're stopping recording. You can see all those red lights pop on. Okay, 1 Kings 19, 16, and 17. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy stead. Shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So, to me, I see this Jehu spirit in our president. Jehu, it says here, was anointed as king. He was a prophet seer. But here, he's raised up as king to drain the swamp of their day. In verse 18, I read that one. The Lord has raised up 7,000 to assist him in draining the swamp. Okay, 2 Kings 9 now. Right, chapter 9. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take thy flask of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest there, find Jehu the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and take him to an inner chamber. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have appointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. Had to do it undercover. They probably would have killed him too. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. And he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of all us? And he said, to thee, O captain. He arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every male, bond and free in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel and the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came forth to the servants of the Lord, and one said unto him, is all well? Why came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, you know the man and his communication. In other words, you know he's a prophet. So he's on the Lord's business. And they said, it is false. Tell us now. And he said, thus and thus spoke he to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, I've anointed thee king over Israel. Then they hasted and took every man his garment, put it under him on the top of the stairs, and blew with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. Here comes Donald Trump down the escalator. Really? I mean, really? That was the moment. He decided to run. He came down the escalator. I mean, they show the clip over and over and over and over again when he came down the escalator of Trump Tower, announcing he was winning. He was going to run. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had kept Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, because of Hazael, king of Syria. We're still dealing with Syria, aren't we? But King Joram was returned to be healed in Jezreel the wounds which the Syrians had given him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jael said, if it be your minds, then let none go forth nor escape out of the city to go to tell it in Jezreel. So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. And there stood a watchman on the tower of Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came, and said, I see a company. And Joram said, take an horseman and send to meet them, and let him say, is it peace? So there went one on horseback to meet him and said, thus saith the Lord, is it peace? And Jehu said, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, the messenger came to them, but he cometh not again. Then he sent out a second on horseback who came to them and said, thus saith the king, is it peace? And Jehu answered, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn behind me. And the watchman told, saying, he came even unto them and cometh not again, and driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. And Joram said, make ready, and his chariot was made ready. And Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out each to his chariot, and they went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth the Jezreelite. And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace, so long as the harlotries of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? And Joram turned his hands and fled, and to Ahaziah there is treachery, O Ahaziah. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Joram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sank down into his chariot. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, saith the Lord. Now Naboth, remember, was the man that had the vineyard that Jezebel had him killed so they could take possession of it. of his son, saith the Lord, and I will requite thee on this plot, saith the Lord. Now therefore take and cast him on the plot of ground according to the word of the Lord. But when Ahaziah the king of Judah saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house, and Jehu followed after him and smite him also in the chariot, and they did so at the ascent of Gur, which is by Abim, and he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his sepulcher with his fathers in the city of David. In the 11th year of Joram the son of Ahab began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and attired her head and looked out through a window. And as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, "Had Zimri peace? Who slew his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there looked out at him two or three eunuchs. And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. When he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, "Go see this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." They went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by a servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. The carcass of Jezebel shall be as a refuse upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel." So they did not say, "This is Jezebel." Now, Jezebel's a spirit. We're not talking about a woman. We're talking about a spirit. This spirit has infiltrated our culture today. I heard someone talking about Baphomet. Baphomet is a... I was listening to a woman that had grown up in a bloodline family. She had grown up in a satanic ritual occult, and they started in on her at 2 years old. And so her whole life, she was under that. She's a Christian now. But she was talking about Baphomet is the transgender demon. If you see it, they've placed them all around. They've tried to put them in every major place where there's a capital. That's their goal, is to put, it's the goat that's got children standing behind. It's got the head of a goat. He has a penis, but he has breast. It's the transgender spirit. So that's what they've been trying to put. And I've seen pictures of it. It's a heinous looking thing. But anyway, that's one of the gods they serve, Baphomet. It's the Jezebel spirit. It was prevalent then and today. The same spirit. All right, let's read 10. And Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, and Jehu wrote letters and sent to Samaria and to the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders and to those who brought up Ahab's children, saying, "Now as soon as this letter cometh to you, seeing your master's sons are with you, and there are with you chariots and horses, a fortified city also in armor, select the best and most fit of your master's sons and set him on his father's throne and fight for your master's house." But they were exceedingly afraid and said, "Behold, two kings stood not before him. Now then shall we stand." And he who was over the house and he who was over the city, the elders also and the guardians of the children, sent to Jehu, saying, "We are thy servants and will do all thou shalt that thou shalt bid us. We will not make any king. Do thou that which is good in thine eyes." Then he wrote the second letter the second time to them, saying, "If ye be mine, and if ye will hearken unto my voice, take ye the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me to Jezreel by tomorrow, this time." Now the king's sons, being 70 persons, were with the great men of the city. He brought them up. Came to pass, when the letter came to them, that they took the king's sons and slew 70 persons. In other words, all the bloodline family was taken out. Now you see why the pedophiles and the pedophores have to die. "And put their heads in baskets and send them to Jezreel. There came a messenger and told him, saying, 'They have brought the heads of the king's sons.' And he said, 'Lay them in two heaps at the entrance of the gate until the morning.' It came to pass in the morning that he went out and stood and said to all the people, 'You are righteous. Behold, I conspired against my master and slew him, but who slew all these? Know now that there shall fall unto the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab, for the Lord had done that which he spoke by his servant Elijah. So Jehu slew all who remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men, his familiar friends, and his priests, until he left him none remaining. He arose and departed and came to Samaria, and as he was at the shearing house in the way, Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, "Who are ye?" And they answered, "We are the brethren of Ahaziah, and we go down to greet the children of the king and the children of the queen." And he said, "Take them alive." And he took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 240 men. Neither left he any of them. Even anybody that's associated with, they took out that evil seed. And when he was departed from there, he came upon Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he greeted him and said to him, "Is thine heart right, as my heart is with thy heart?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is, if he give me thine hand." And he gave him his hand, and he took him up with him into the chariot. And he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made him ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all the remain unto Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed him according to the saying of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. And Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, "Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests. Let none be missing, for I have a great sacrifice to offer to Baal. Whosoever shall be missing, he shall not live." But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, "Proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal," and they proclaimed it. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left who came not. And they came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full from one end to the other. And he said unto him, "Who was over the vestry? Bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal." And he brought them forth vestments. And Jehu went, and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal, and said unto the worshippers of Baal, "Search and see that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshippers of Baal only." And when they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men without, and said, "If any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he who letteth him go, his life shall be for the life of him." It came to pass, as soon as he had ceased offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, "Go in and slay them. Let none come forth." And they smote them with the edge of the sword. And the guard and the captains came, cast them out, and went to the city of the house of Baal. And they brought forth the images of the house of Baal and burned them. And they broke down the image of Baal and broke down the house of Baal and made it a latrine unto this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Howbeit, from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them, to wit, the golden calf. I'm not going to read that part. So we get down to chapter 11, we see Athaliah. That was Jezebel's daughter, and the same thing happens to her. Jehu carried out his mission. I'm just going to read part of that. Forgot to write this one down. Okay. Let's just start with chapter 11. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Josheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. He was with her hidden in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. And in the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds. Now Jehoiada took Jehu's place, and he's taking care of this another generation here of Jezebel. The captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath for them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. Now Athaliah, when her son was died, killed all her grandchildren. Abortion spirit. And he commanded them, saying, "This is a thing you shall do. A third part of you who enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house, and a third part shall be at the gate of Sir, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall ye keep the watch of the house, that it might be broken down. And two parts of you shall go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And ye shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand. And he who cometh within the ranks, let him be slain. And be ye with the king as he goeth out and as he cometh in. The captains over the hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man his men who were to come in on the Sabbath with them, who should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains over hundreds did the priest give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guard stood every man with his weapons in his hand round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along with the altar and the temple. He brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, God save the queen. When Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar according to the custom, and the princes and the trumpeters of the king and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew the trumpets, and Athaliah tore her clothes and cried, treason, treason! Impeach, impeach! You get the same spirit? But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said unto them, have her forth beyond the ranks, and him who followeth her kill with the sword. For the priest said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by which the horses came to the king's house, and there was slain. So, a point to all this. Generational evil had to be taken out. All those associated. Now, I know some of these swamp creatures are been given probably an opportunity to turn state's evidence, a plea bargain to rat out the others. I figure they'll probably get a sentence also, but, you know, even in our day, it's become I don't know how to describe it. It's escalated to the point that our cultures is facing the days of Noah. Extinction, if it continues on. Generational evil. The president is becoming bolder and is calling out of these swamp rats. It is emboldening the people. I'm raising up the spirit of Jehu. It is a spirit of boldness. There will be no more playing games for the swamp. Judgment day has come. The people are rallying behind the president, and they are one, a mighty army, anointed with the Jehu anointing to help the president take down and out the swamp. Me, this is my observation. I observed on Wednesday that 30 congressmen stormed the skiff where they were having their secret impeachment hearing, demanding to know what was going on. They didn't get any info, but you see the beginning of the spirit of boldness that the Lord is raising up in the people. They're getting tired of the games. They're getting tired of them breaking the law and doing whatever the heck they think, like a bunch of thugs and gangsters. That's what they are. Some of them are bloodline gangsters. The Lord said that they have nothing. They are just stalling until they can find something to stick to hurt the president. In fact, I had a little mini vision. I saw them in there playing cards. Now, skiff, it's a sealed building. You don't take any electronics in there. You can't hear anything that goes on or anything that's said inside of a skiff. But anyway, it's like this in there. There's no telling what they're in there doing. They're just trying to come up with some wicked way to trick the president. They have nothing. Even there was a judge yesterday told, I think it was Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, that they could go ahead with they didn't have to have a vote to go ahead with their little impeachment sham. But it's an Obama-appointed judge. I had some thoughts about what they were actually doing in there. Shopping on eBay, maybe? Playing Old Maid? Wasting their time and money? That's what they are doing, rotten to the core. Here's the Lord. It's time to push back. No more intimidation, but action. Instead of impeach, impeach, you will hear treason, treason. But it'll be the other way. The righteous are bold as a lion. Get bolder in your speaking and decreeing. This is what will set the swats on assignment to take out the teeth of the enemy. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here. Psalms 3:7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Okay, Psalms 58, 7. Let them melt away like waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. It has begun. The time is now. Get busy following my spirit in your speaking and decreeing, and you will soon begin to see it unfold in the natural. Okay, I think that's going to do us for today.